Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast, the only podcast on the internet that talks about Islam and today's events and today's happenings and current topics and current news and from a Muslim perspective. And I am so off my game tonight. Normally I have some cool, interesting, you know, thing to say to get the show rolling, but I'm not doing so hot tonight. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, please introduce the, take two. Please allow me to introduce the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace to all our listeners tonight. To those who listen in from Japan, South Africa, Pakistan, England, the US, Canada, and many other countries, we welcome you all and we want to let you know that we truly appreciate the time that you spend to listen to the podcast, to watch the live stream, and to engage with us. You are the listeners. Your voice is crucial in the success of the mission. And the mission is what, Carl? To allow people to see Islam and understand Islam in the context of the faith, not the context of Islamophobia, not in the context of racism and prejudice, and certainly not in the context of culture, which many of us Muslims have grown up identifying Islam as. That being said, that was quite a long introduction and a welcome. I think I compensated for Carl on that. And so, Carl, you know, another busy week. Again, another big week. We're not a late night show. We are not John Oliver and a weekly sum up of the news with a comical twist. But we do have to speak about a lot of current events only because Islam's name is always etched into those matters.
Did I lose you? Did you freeze?
I'm sending it back to you, Carl. And I know we have, I think we had a preliminary small talk that we want to cover three or four very major issues. What I think is important for all of us to understand the severity of these matters. You know, when I was a child and we turned on the news around 5-6 o'clock, I believe it was 1989-ish. Don't quote me on this, but I remember that on news, it wasn't like a breaking news. It wasn't a very long story that they continue to, of course, repeat. Because remember, in those days, it was like the morning news, there was the midday news, and then there was the evening news. And then you have those 10 o'clock news summaries. I recalled I was in the kitchen and I watched in the news, and she said that in 20 to 30 years from now, machines are going to take over and jobs will be, more machine-based and humans will not be needed. And I ran and I told my father that, and he watched the news, but there was no repeat of that. And he used to work for a very high-tech company known as Litton Systems, and he used to build the most technological things that I don't want to talk about right now, but he would build them in these facilities, and his job as an engineer was a very important job, and what they were doing was very crucial. And he wanted to hear that, but it wasn't said again. And it was, again, not breaking news. It was just one of those things slipped in between. But 20, 30 years later now, we're seeing that happen. So the reason sometimes we highlight certain stories, the point I'm trying to make is because they are very crucial, even though you haven't heard about it, or you heard about it and you thought it's not a big issue.
So we try to make sure that we cover everything here, and we did have a pre-show meeting, and I'm not really sure where to start with what we talked about, but
Let me hit you with that one then.
Yeah, no, we do talk about this stuff because it is in the news, and there is so much Islamophobia out there that we don't know really. People get confused because if you don't know a Muslim and you've never spoken to a Muslim and you know you don't know, then you'd hear things and you see things and you just assume that they're real, and you assume that I saw this on the internet, because as we all know, everything we see on the internet at all times is absolutely true. And you know, actually the one thing I want to do, and I hope Facebook doesn't kick us off for this, I'm going to try to be slick about it, but one of the things that we talked about before the show was the new CNN commercial. And I have this little gift, and I hope you can hear it. And if you can't, just give me a hand signal and I'll see it. But for those of you listening online, here, this is just for you.
This is an apple. And 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 when you put them all together, you've got a case.
Now that is one of the, that's the second ad that CNN has done. And the first one that you and I were talking about was Apple, Apple, Banana. So, but that's one of my favorites. I'm loving their new ad campaign with that stuff. But with all of that being said, and I think this is an actual segue, and I may actually be reorganizing your story order here, but I have a really nice segue now, because since we're talking about this is an apple, this is an apple, even if somebody puts it in caps and says this is a banana, at the end of the day, it's still an apple. I want to talk about this misconception of Muslims and goats. And I don't know where this came from. And honestly, when you try to insult Muslims, especially me, with like, oh, these goats and Muslims are goat lovers and blah, 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 I find it hilarious. It's not a good insult for me, because I think it is funny because it has no basis in anything. Now, why do I say that? Because this week in Arizona, there was a woman who went into a mosque. She trespassed, she vandalized, and one of the things that she did while she was there was her son climbed up on the back of the van that they use for funerals and said to be careful that they keep the sex goats in the back of that truck. Again, don't know where it comes from. I find it hilarious, but this woman posted it on Facebook. She live streamed the whole thing. And she just went through the mosque and vandalized it and trespassed. And let's see, I'm just looking here. I think it's got like 10,000. Yeah, she's been arrested. I think she has like 10,000 views at this point. But anyway, there you go. There's your segue.
I want to break this whole thing down for our listeners today, because it's a very important topic. And that's what we're going to end with today. I want to start with an incident that occurred in Nottingham, England, where a teenage girl, 18 years old, of Egyptian origin, was beaten up by 10 other girls, some older than her age. She was put into induced coma, hopefully that she would recover from her injuries, but 3 weeks later, she passed away. She died last week, I believe. And now, remember the analogy that Carl shared with you on our segment today, which was from CNN, because I want to explain to you how this hits home with these three incidents that we're going to talk about today. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about justice, he doesn't only tell us to establish justice, but he tells us to uphold justice. When he tells us to learn, he doesn't tell us to kind of skim through the top. He talks about in depth. And when we say reading, which is the first revelation, Iqra means to go all in and extract and excavate and collect and bring out. Don't take he say, she say, word say. We look in the history of Islam, and I'm going to take this a bit out. We look in the history of Islam. A question could be asked, why did Allah send so many prophets? Why was there Jesus, before which there was Moses, and there was Jacob, and there was Aaron, and so many of the prophets. What was the purpose of all these prophets? Peace be upon all of them.
I know the answer to that one, because we kept screwing it up. Anyway, go ahead.
There you go. That should be a t-shirt for Raw Islam, because we kept screwing it up. And that is so true. You know why? You know how they screwed it up? This is the exact story. When a prophet would die, the people would start, they would start sidelining themselves from that religious tract and a mental state of goodness and piety. And so the idea was sowed into their minds. Why don't you make like a picture of the prophet? So when you see him, you remember God and you worship. And so it worked for a while, but then the picture thing wore off. So they said, why don't you make a statue of him, a replica statue of him? So when you see him, you'll remember God and you'll do your repentance and so on and so forth. Ultimately, after 2-3 generations, they're here sitting in front of these idols, which are of prophets or saints, and they're worshiping them, and their children assume that they're worshiping the idols. But they, out of good faith, were worshiping God in remembrance of the prophet in front of them. But what happened was it took them back to adultery and to worshiping idols, which took them towards monotheism, pushing for faith again. Long story short, this is exactly what's happening. Why in the world was a girl who is a Muslim beaten to death by 10 other girls? What goes into the mind of an individual that they're willing to commit such a heinous crime, knowing that they could be put away or maybe face death depending on what the country is or what state they're in, what the law is? I don't know what it is in the UK, but they were willing to go that far. Remember, this is an apple. And we're saying that to a banana. There's a banana peel in front of you on the floor, and you're telling everyone, this is an apple. It's only a matter of time that picture turns into a statue and that statue turns into God, i.e. that banana peel turns into an apple, and we start dealing with that banana peel as if it was an apple. And this is a very dangerous downfall, because as much as you want to excel, there has to be a certain amount of energy invested in ensuring that our key fundamentals, foundations of understanding and knowledge and morals is with us. It will not move unless you bring it along. So that's a disturbing story that maybe many of our listeners never heard about, that a girl was beaten to death. Why was she beaten to death? Go find out. It goes to show the decline of humanity in human beings, something we could keep on bringing up almost on a weekly basis. We take this story now to a new level. Let's go to the next story. Austin, Texas, home of technology, the second Silicon Valley of America. A lot of brilliant minds, a lot of great companies have their headquarters there and their offices there. What's happening in Austin? Well, many of you might have not heard, because we're so caught up with Trump in a lawsuit and $20 million and $130,000 and all these other things that's going on. There has been, till tonight, there has been 5 bombs in Austin. And one of them blew up this morning in San Antonio in the FedEx facility. And the thing is that these bombs are addressed to reputable, successful, prominent African Americans. It's happening only in Austin, and it's going only to Black people in the community. Until now, no one has called it domestic terrorism. This is what I'm trying to say to everyone. Listeners, catch up with me on this if you can. When we fail to call something for what it is, we open the doors to justifying what is wrong. Does that make sense, Carl?
Yes, it does. Because if you don't call it what it is, there comes a point where, you know, if you don't call something what it is, and this is one of these things that is here today, and it really bugs me, is like the fake news. Oh, this is fake news. Oh, that's fake news. And I know during Trump's inauguration, oh, it was the largest inauguration ever. It's just an alternative fact. No, it's a lie. Mm-hmm. And the minute you stop calling something what it actually is when you start changing the narrative. So the minute you stop calling this domestic terrorism and you start calling it, oh, these packages that are being sent to African Americans for no apparent reason. No, dude, that's domestic terrorism. Call it what it is. Don't sugarcoat it, because then what's going on will be lost.
Well, not only that, Carl, you've hit into the point. I'm going to take it home. And that point is that you change a perception of human and humanity, and you allow good to be evil and evil to be good. You justify to a point that a person will never hesitate to do what they do because they feel it's fine. I'm doing something right. And so we have a systematic trend of not calling something for what it is. And what we gave it was an alternative name to make it look better. So we called the banana peel an apple. And the apple result is that we have these type of incidents happening all over our world. Nottingham, England is one girl. Sri Lanka is now up in flames with Muslim-Buddhist rivalry, Buddhists who are burning Muslim mosques and burning Muslim businesses. The question you have to ask yourself, you have been around for so long and you've been around together. Why is it happening right now? And it all goes down to, as we said, when you don't call something for what it is and you sugarcoat it or you change a terminology to make it look like something better. There's no such thing as fake news. There is news and there's lies. And there's no such thing as alternative facts. There's knowledge and there's lies. There's nothing in between the two. This is like there's day and there's night. You're trying to call it late afternoon, evening, pre-sunset. Oh, the sun just set. No, the sunset, it's nighttime. Yes, the colors in the sky change, but it's nighttime now, right? And oh, the sun is about to rise in an hour. So it's like pre-morning. No, it's morning, afternoon, evening, night, right? But we're going to talk about the as bright as day, as dark as night. There's nothing in between when it comes to knowledge and news in comparison to lies and lies. And that takes us to Arizona. So you here you have a mother. You have a mother with her friend and children who are being taught this. See the effect now. We don't call Austin for what it is. We then have humans doing what they do, like in Nottingham. And then you have parents teaching their kids, indoctrinating their kids. These are not Americans. These are haters. These are terrorists. These are people who have sexual relationships with goats. These are people who eat dogs. These are people who, hate pork. And if you watch the video, I'm sure some of us or many of us have watched the video, it's mind-boggling. Now, yes, she got arrested because she was dumb enough to record herself. But let me tell you something. This wasn't the first incident at that mosque. And this wasn't the first incident at any mosque. And I want us to do one thing at this point of the program is to do what Islam teaches us as a Muslim. Always turn around and look at where was your deficiency in having this come about. I didn't put the fertilizer, so in result the weeds came up. You know, you don't blame the grass at that time, you blame your inaction on what the reaction is. So Islam teaches me that at any given time, when something wrong is happening, you turn around and ask yourself, or you look in the mirror and ask yourself, where did I go wrong? So I want to take that mosque, the mosque which I know, ICC Tempe, I've been there twice. I know the people. I actually interviewed for that mosque. And I want to just give the listeners a bit of understanding of where we're failing. Number one, our mosques are run by people who don't know how to run mosques. This is a given. And I could say this because majority, in an Arabic, they say, al-aktharu fi hukm al-kul. If something is in a majority, you can give it a statement of everything. Like this is, it's all in one. And so number one, people who are running the mosques are not professionals in running. Number two, they have selfish motives and interior motives, which then blindside the community from what they truly need. Tempe Mosque is located in the heart of Arizona State University. It's all around it. It has what, 70,000 students. In the next few years, it's going to have like 110,000, 120,000 students. Your mosque is strategically located in a place where you can make a grand impact in a state that has so much racism and so much phobia. And you got people who are who are Muslims who hate Islam and say Islam has to change and the Quran has to change. I don't want to even say that person's name. You got this stuff happening in your state, and your mosque is strategically located on a gold mine. This is what I've told them, and I'm telling my listeners tonight. But all we got from them was, no, we don't need this, we don't need that. There's no security at that mosque, number one. There are many people who reside in those apartments up there, and God forbid if someone was to do some domestic terrorism, a lot of lives would have been lost. Doesn't matter what time of the day it was. Number two, there's no security protocol except for Jummas and Friday, where you have an officer and have a few security guards, but that doesn't change it. I'm not talking about your inadequate security tonight. I'm not talking about the fact that you don't know how to function a mosque. I'm not talking about the state that there is a certain level of racism in that mosque. Yes, we have racism in Islam, and I faced it firsthand when I was so-called interviewed / interrogated by the board, only to be told that one statement I made wasn't good enough for me to be there. And I'm perfectly fine with that. And I thank God for not going to that mosque. But I could tell you that community is suffering. The students are suffering. They're deprived of the fact that there should have been a proactive approach. Now, look at this. The mosque is posting pictures about the rallies and the peace rallies and the support from the community and the flowers that are coming in and the balloons that were hung on the walls of the mosque and the card that was given. Why are we Muslims looking for the sympathy of people? Why can't we be the one sympathizing with people? That's what it's come to in America. If people sympathize with us, then, you know, we're okay. If people see us, we're good. If people acknowledge our presence, we're fine. If Apple has a commercial with a girl with hijab, we're making progress. If a Muslim female reporter becomes the first Muslim with hijab to be a reporter in America, man, we're moving forward with miles. But the thing is, we as Muslims, in the core of our religion, we're supposed to be community builders, community supporters, knowledge. We're supposed to distribute knowledge. We're supposed to remove ignorance. We're supposed to stand for what's good and allow other people to see that good and stand with it alongside, even if they don't want to be Muslim. This is the problem. We are inactive. We are insecure. We are a failure to ourselves in our community. And we are thinking because someone gave us a pat on the back and say, you're my brother of Arizona, oh, everything is fine. This is our problem. So the bombs in Austin, not being called for what they are the result of actions like in Nottingham and actions like in Arizona, in Tempe, where people are educating their children these crazy things, which, by the way, Carl, I think I told you this before we started. How come we haven't, as a Muslim community, answered to the pedophilia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the pork notion that it's kryptonite, or that we kill dogs, or that sleep with, or that, you know what you call it, we're here to take over the country, or we're here to impose Sharia law? These are just 6 points. I want you as a Muslim listener tonight, or whenever you listen to this, to ask yourself, how come I don't have the answers for this? And how come I'm not spreading the truth of this? Because I'm allowing falsehood to create the perception that's what Islam is. This is an apple. This is an apple. This is an apple. When it all along was a banana peel. And guess what? We're going to be the first ones to slip on it.
Okay, administrative stuff now. So first off, I know I gave you some very confusing gestures off screen, but what I was saying was that there's actually been another explosion in Austin when you were talking about it. As we were talking, I got the CNN alerts that another one has taken place just now. Layla, I want to say thank you to you for inviting all of your friends. And her comment is that they don't call, and she said salam, by the way. She said they don't call it what it is, but we know what it is. This is why it's very important to continue to educate ourselves as Muslims and as individuals. And you're absolutely right, Layla, and that is what we do here, and that is why we're here every Tuesday night, inshallah, ya Rab. And if we're not here, make sure you go over to vennetwork.com, where you can download all the audio episodes, especially if you're new, because all the past episodes are listed there. And while you're there on the vennetwork.org, if you go to the front page, you can, you know, click on the link to Amazon and get yourself a little t-shirt to help support the network and the hosts on the network, where we have awesome other shows as well. We also have another question for you, sir, and I will toss it back to you. although I'm qualified to answer this one, but it's the Imam Azhar podcast. I'll let you do it. The question is, do you think there will be more prophets because, as I said earlier, we continuously screw it up?
I love the question. I thank the listener for posing that question. The role that my critique, and Carl, you know, I'm going to go a bit ahead today on time, is that people see me as someone who loves criticizing a lot nowadays. I don't know if it's with age or what it is, but I've come to a point where I expect. So if Carl says that I am a master in podcasting, I never asked him. He said that. So now if I take your word for what you said, I expect that you do what you do right. If a person says I'm standing up for your civil liberties, I expect you do it the way you're supposed to do it right. If you say I'm here for charity causes, then I expect you to do it right. And that could go whole nine yards. So when I'm holding a person or a people or a board or a mosque accountable, put aside my criticism or my critical views, it's because I've experienced things there, I've seen things there, and it's not standing for what you say you're standing. So there's two options: change yourself or step down. Change yourself or step down. Don't hijack the community because you have the money. Don't hijack the people because you're the biggest donors and that you'll call the shots. There's still not an imam in that community where there are so many Muslim students. There's so many people who come from outside. Remember, don't think a nurse can do a doctor's job. We need doctors. That being said, the question is being asked, are prophets going to come? In Islam, we believe the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last prophet, and the duty of making sure, upholding the message. Now put aside the image of a book, a Quran, a Torah, a Bible. Put that image aside. The word, what is word? Civility, humanity, modesty, character, morals. These things are upheld. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Muslims. So the fact that we're failing to do that, we should be called out for that. And that's exactly what I'm doing. And I would agree. And I would wholeheartedly listen to someone who calls me out if I say I'm an expert in something, or this is what I do, and I don't do it well, or I don't do it at all. So that goes back to Layla's question or thought. She said that we should be, we know it. And that's the danger, Sister Layla, is that when we all say we know it's wrong, but we don't say it's wrong, because your brain is going to die with you and it's going to go in the grave with you, and so will mine. But my kids and their friends and my neighbors won't know that this was something I thought was wrong. And what will happen then is a culture shift where wrong will become right, where right will not be looked upon as something virtuous anymore, and that thing shifts within a generation. So since we know it, we have to speak in. That's what Raw Islam is about, that we speak these things, because I know, Brother Carl knows, by our individual experiences, what the detrimental effect can be if we stop speaking and allow others to speak for us.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode of the Raw Islam Podcast with Imam Azhar. I would like to thank everybody for joining us online tonight. I would like to thank everyone for all the comments and all the shares. And Layla, thank you very much for tagging your friends, because it's cool when you invite other people. More people watch, we get the word spread further. And I would like to thank everyone for joining us tonight on the one podcast that does not have alternative facts. We just share the real facts. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, I know I kind of very sloppily did it earlier, but I will do it again one more time, which is, if you want to help support the network, make sure you head over to the vennetwork.com and get your own Venn Network t-shirt. We have long sleeve coming soon for our hijabi sisters. We are also putting out a call for any designs. If you have a design that you think the Raw Islam Podcast should be using on a t-shirt, email it over to us. The email's right here on the screen, rawislam@vennetwork.org. We're also on Patreon if you'd like to help support the podcast, the host, and the network. Hosts and network. And I think that's all the administrative stuff. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.